Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with a packed house as everybody is getting over the Christmas break and hopefully all of your family celebrations. We have, of course, producer Chad Ellis in the studio. Sheriff Dave Marshak is in the studio. Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. And, of course, my co-host, Bo Matthews, is here as well. Great to see you, my friend.
Hey, man. Good to see you, too.
So how was Christmas?
It was really quiet.
Yeah?
It was quiet.
Good for you.
The home run gift for the wife. You gotta find that. If you exchange gifts with your wife. And we were watching a comedian on Thursday last week, and this girl, this comedian, was wearing high-heeled sneakers. My wife lost her mind. She's like, oh, my gosh, those are so cute. I was able to go on Amazon. Boom. They were under the tree by Christmas. She lost her mind.
High-heeled sneakers seem like they it defeats the purpose of sneakers.
Hey, she's happy.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I'm just curious.
Now I need to see them.
We had a 40th birthday blowout. My wife's birthday is a week before Christmas.
Yay.
So we did everything for her birthday this year. Good. So we didn't do any gift exchange. We had a fantastic Christmas week though.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun.
And the weather is crazy. We were walking into the room, and I just realized what I was going to ask Tim.
All right.
We'll get to it when we get to it.
All right, very good. So, yeah, as I mentioned, Tim Shelsvik from the Thinking Woodsman podcast, Drury Outdoors is here, and Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County is here. It's great to see you guys. And they're going to be here for the entire show with us. And right now, as we start the show, same way as we do every week with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Great to talk to you, Aaron. How's it going? Merry Christmas. Hope you had a great break there.
We did. It was a good time. We had the store open special on Monday. We're normally closed just to have the ability for those customers that love coming in to come in and get those last few items. And for 4 hours, we were just slammed.
Nice.
We weren't open very, very long. We were quite surprised, to say the least.
Yeah, very good. So how was Piper? How was her Christmas? I bet it was awesome.
Piper was awesome. It was a Mimi Mouse Christmas. And got her some Play-Doh and some Legos. And she's got her own cash register now. So you may see that if you stop in the store. She's got a Mimi Mouse cash register. And they've got some Mimi Mouse dollars and coins and just some other real fun stuff. So she had a good time. And then the wife got me Model 66 Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum nickel. That was great. I loved it. And then I got a blanket, which was good. I always steal my wife's one blanket. It's super soft, so she bought me one. And then Piper and I got Jess a belt buckle and a belt and like some wine glasses and a bottle of wine and like a little carrier. So
nice.
Everybody got a little something and, It was good, but the real joy was watching Piper open up presents and play with trains, and it was just little girl amazes me. I'll just say that.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's what it's absolutely all about. And I actually should say that I said that we didn't really exchange presents, but my family did get me, when Aaron said blanket, a 20-pound weighted blanket. Have you guys ever experienced? Yeah, Thunder Blanket. Have you ever experienced a weighted blanket?
No.
I hear it's supposed to be 10% of your body weight.
They are freaking awesome.
Really?
They are amazing.
Is it hot? Like I've been concerned about it just being...
So I always keep the house extremely cold. Yeah. So, they are warmer, but I keep the house very cold.
It's cozy.
So, yeah. So it's fine. And yeah, no.
Will you take it to the deer stand? I mean, can you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But holy smokes, the weighted blanket is freaking amazing.
And they're not cheap because my wife has been wanting one for a while, and I was kind of looking around. And
they are not cheap.
Not giving them away,
but they are awesome.
The old throws that you bought, you know, with the logos of the blues of the car, there's just no weight to them. And I never understood it's all polyester, and that's where I thought I was getting my heat from, you know. But I just read about the weighted blanket. I was like, I looked for them. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond. I didn't find them.
Yeah, we ordered ours offline online, but yeah.
Did you ever think there'd be a...
Go ahead, Aaron.
I said, just take two blankets, sew them together, throw some shots.
That is definitely one way to do it.
Fine.
Right.
Weighted blanket.
Hey, as we roll into 2020, what is happening at Southern Armor, Aaron?
So we've got some things that we're working on right now. We're looking at bringing in some medical classes, some medical supplies. We would always carry like tourniquets and stuff, but people wouldn't really know how to use them. So I was like, you know, being a paramedic, maybe I should do a little bit more public education on what you should have in your range bag, what you should carry in your vehicle, you know. So we're going to carry some things that just aren't just for the shooting range and just aren't your house, but, you know, leaving your vehicle and stuff. Because, you know, the reality is, I've said this before, and I know it's resonated with listeners, you are your own first responder. So when that person breaks in the house and you discharge a firearm, and let's say you or a loved one gets hit in the process from the bad guy shooting as well, you know, it's going to take time for law enforcement to arrive. It's going to take time for them to secure the scene and then allow the fire department, the paramedics and stuff to come in as well. So having a tourniquet or a chest seal, some gauze, Israeli bandage, stuff like that at your house is probably not a bad idea. Same thing at these shooting ranges. Some of these shooting ranges are pretty far out, depending on which one you belong to or where you go. Some of these unmanned conservation ranges, same thing. You know, they're unmanned, so everybody's kind of relying on one another for safety. And if something happens, it's going to take a little bit for the fire department, ambulance, et cetera, to get to you. You can bleed out very quickly. So just having a few basic life-saving items with you when you go shooting is a great thing. In your vehicle, if you wreck your vehicle or you come across, let's say, a motorcycle accident, as that's going to motorcycle season apparently reopened like right around Christmas, because we had like 60 and 70 degree weather, which was great.
Yeah.
You know, just the little things. But the $30 worth of items you can leave in your car to save a life is pretty phenomenal. Working with another company on some backpack stuff. Been carrying bags and whatnot, but there was just company out there that I came across that had some just real lightweight stuff. They do like overlanding and backpacking. So I was like, this is kind of a, you know, like a 1 pound backpack or a 1 pound tent. And then they had like a bag. I was like, oh, this is really cool stuff. So kind of moving towards the lifestyle stuff, so to speak, of, you know, camping and backpacking and first aid. And then if you need a CPR or first aid class, I went ahead and did my CPR first aid instructor. So we're going to start hopefully setting those things up in the future as well. So if you're interested in any of the classes that we're going to be offering outside of the CCW, the defensive pistol classes, you know, stop in, talk to Jess, or go to our website, southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com. Chad doesn't have a microphone because there's too many people in here, so I have to do it again. That's southernarmory.com. Did you want to do it?
I did it for
him. Oh, Tim did it, and I talked over him. Tim Shelswick did it, and I talked over him. Dang it, he was ready.
Yeah.
He was ready.
Not as smooth as Chad.
And so, you know, you can go to the website, of course, and then when you go there, it'll pop up and say, hey, you want to join our email list? And, you know, join that. Join with the thousands and thousands of other people that have joined and that are getting some commentary from me on occasion, especially as we move into the new year with the legislation that's coming down. I'm sure everybody saw, hey, you know, the governor's going to consider gun control stuff. And it's like, okay, let's suit up and wait for this. It looks like Mr. Tarlow will be going to Jeff City again.
Yeah.
To complain. And so that's the one thing that I've kind of been, you know, I've been watching. And they go back into session here in January. And I've got an open invitation from several reps I know to come on out. And so I've been looking at coming out.
If you do that, we need to, you will be the official correspondent, and I would love to hear that experience because, and you know, what you guys work on. Aaron, one more time, before we let you go, social media, websites, where can they find Southern Armory, of course?
Southern Armory is located 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road. And you can get on the social, Second Amendment Radio and Southern Armory. And, of course, SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
There he is. Tim Shelswick got it.
And, you know, get on there, and then we'll do some live streams and stuff.
Yeah.
Sure, when I get out there, we're going to do that. But the plan was to take the train out and kind of be, like, kind of diplomatic, like Harry S. Truman. Truman took a train everywhere, so tour. I want to do that. Say, what did you say, Chad?
I love it.
Whistle Stop Tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The Aaron Tarlow Whistle Stop Tour. I love it.
So, we'll let everybody know when we're going to do that, and you know, I'm not opposed to listeners joining me because you need to make your voice heard too.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm nothing. I don't want to say I'm anything special, right? I'm just a regular guy that owns a gun shop and loves to serve his fellow man. So you know, you guys are welcome to come.
Very
and,
good.
If you can't join me, the socials are great, and maybe we'll get out there. We'll do a live stream, and you guys can bombard the reps and stuff that we're meeting with some questions, because we need to let them know we're not gonna negotiate here.
Good stuff, Aaron. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, you too. Bye.
All right, we need to take a break, but we have Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak, Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors in studio with us. You are listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Bo Matthews, Chad Ellis, all here with you. And joining us in studio this week is Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors and Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak. Great to see you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having us
back.
Good
to see you.
Yeah, Sheriff, great to see you guys as well. So I want to dive right into a very interesting conversation. We've been getting a whole lot of feedback from this discussion that we have had on the show and on the Dave Glover show when I've been hosting here recently. And that is this new bill that is being floated in St. Louis County about hunting in county parks. Some people are thrilled and some people are very worried and very against it. Just for people who maybe are just hearing about this for the first time, Tim, can you just sort of kind of frame the idea of what hunting in a public park would look like?
Yeah, and it sounds like to me that it's strictly bow hunting.
It's bow, yes, that is correct.
Talking about firearm hunting in county parks, but yeah, the problem is, as most folks that live around St. Louis know, is we've got way too many deer. There are too many auto collisions. There's also social stress, over-browsing. People can't have gardens where they want to have gardens. So it's just too many deer. It's not healthy. And one of the refuges for all these deer are the county parks, because they're just undeterred. They've got no natural predators anymore, and they're just stupid thick.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the county government is moving in the right direction, and it looks like they're going to allow bow hunting. And I don't know. I imagine they'll have some type of credentialing process and
right.
a process for checking people in, and they'll probably cordon off particular areas to allow bow hunting over here and not over there near the swing sets. That's just my guess. But there are lots of ways to do it and lots of precedent already set for municipalities that do allow bow hunting in public spaces.
And when you say public parks, St. Louis County parks, you do picture swing sets. You do picture families mm-hmm. out there and stuff. But there's a lot of parks that are just land. A
lot of woods.
I mean, just yeah. tons of land, hiking trails, things like that. So I think it's a misnomer for the people that get offended by hearing something yeah. like that. Oh, my goodness, go on social media. They can't be doing this in our parks because yeah. the swing set is next yeah. to the, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to have some guy hanging out on a merry-go-round with his PSE waiting to.
Although at the top of the slide is a great deer.
Yeah, that's you, that's you what get I said. The right height. And,
yeah.
and
I've been on regulated hunts uh-huh. in other county parks throughout the state. I used to draw for Fleming Park up near Kansas City. It was very well organized. It was disciplined. I felt like there was no possibility of a third party, you know, playing on the ground the same day.
Yeah.
It was, you know, well regulated in terms of safety. And these hunts were not going on when the general public was out there playing with their children.
Right, right.
I think it's the right move. I've participated in these hunts, and I think it's a great way to curb, you know, the fact that there's so many deer over there with a few predators.
And so many people yeah. are getting hurt in car accidents with these. I mean, they're right. all over the place.
Yep. Now, I will say, as a bow hunter, just because you have the legal authority to hunt a particular location doesn't give you license to be a jerk about it. Because you will encounter people who are not comfortable with hunting, who don't have a context for it, and maybe have some preconceived notions.
Yeah.
Recognize that you're an ambassador for every hunter out there, gun hunters, small game hunters, anglers. Like, you're kind of the tip of the spear for the entire outdoor community.
Yeah.
So be nice to people.
Yeah.
Don't just
maybe you can change some minds.
Exactly.
Instead of being confrontational and saying, hey, I'm here legally. Deal with
I was bow hunting
me being in your face.
Yeah. And
that's no way to go.
Yeah, I was bow hunting a few weeks ago on a trail on private ground between Hidden Valley and a property in Wildwood that I was hunting, and a guy comes walking down the trail that I had set up on, and he was clearly trespassing. And it looked like he'd done it a lot. But I whistled at him a couple times. He's looking around like, where'd that come from? And I was like, sir, I'm up here. And he's, oh, hey. And I said, hey, you may not know this. You're on private property. You'll have to turn around. I'm bow hunting right now. And I've leased the property to hunt. And it was a nice exchange. I could have read him the Riot Act.
Right.
But that's not going to help. That's not going to help matters in a culture that is already kind of has a thumb against the hunting community.
Yeah.
So if you're hunting in a county park, be nice, be helpful, and be winsome.
Yeah, from a law enforcement perspective, Sheriff, would you co-sign that statement?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt and without hesitation. I think it's good for the support. And again, it's a matter of public safety at this point. If there's so many deer traveling the roadways, we have to be cognizant of traffic safety and yeah. traveling.
So in Jefferson County, this is a St. Louis County issue. That they may be allowing hunting in county parks. But what are the rules in Jefferson County as far as that stuff is concerned? Can you do that in Jefferson County already? And again, just from a law enforcement perspective. Do you feel like it's a good idea for St. Louis
Without
County
a doubt.
To
you know,
allow
I'm an avid hunter as well. The county parks department has organized hunts. So, you know, one of the things that we are a little bit different in terms of St. Louis County is that we don't have all these municipalities that, you know, struggle with these decisions independently. Majority of Jefferson County is unincorporated, and a number of our residents enjoy hunting on their own property, and they may have a swath of property of 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 acres where there's no restrictions in terms of hunting. So, you know, I think in terms of the sport, it's good again, and I think it's good for our community. I wouldn't have any objection whatsoever.
Yeah.
And has St. Louis County reached out to you to...
Not to me specifically, but it doesn't mean that they haven't had communication with our parks department.
Sure, sure. And Jefferson County Parks does a great job.
Yeah, but I would completely support it. I've hunted in county parks throughout the state. This particular issue is not isolated to St. Louis County. Again, on the other side of the state, it's been an issue for a long time. And they've addressed it, and they've addressed it in a humane way. Because the population without some other disruption will continue to increase.
You know, that's a great point regarding just about everything, this issue and other issues in general. How much communication does your department or maybe the, like you said, the Jefferson County Parks Department, do you guys communicate with St. Louis County on a regular basis about law enforcement
all the time,
and all that?
All the time. You know, we have officers assigned to task forces with St. Louis City and St. Louis County. As I've said before, crime's a regional issue, and it takes all of us to work together. Our tactical teams will end up working together. Our narcotics units end up working together. We don't worry about jurisdictional lines. We have to work with other prosecutors' offices, whether it be the circuit attorney's office in St. Louis City or Wesley Bell's office because of search warrants mm-hmm. and the follow-up investigations that are necessary on crimes. It's paramount to our success, and I think regionally all the departments have a really good relationship.
Good stuff. Bo, you mentioned off the air that you think that it was so for people that don't know, Bo Matthews lives in a secure bunker on 5,000.
You all laugh. When the purge happens, you're coming to my house.
He's on 5,000 acres of private hidden land somewhere south of St. Louis. And you said that you think that many of your neighbors maybe picked up some firearms for Christmas because there was some... There were some discharges being heard
a lot
over the last couple of days.
A lot.
Tim, a lot of people may be getting guns or getting the idea of hunting, you know, and as we start a new year, maybe some Christmas presents were given, people getting back or maybe introducing kids to the hunting lifestyle. What are always some good things to keep in mind when you are introducing somebody, whether it be a child or an adult who hasn't done this yet, when you're going to be introducing him to sort of the outdoor hunting lifestyle?
It's such a big question. I think first, obviously, the
big question from a big guy,
big for your size, the safety and respect for the weapon itself, whether it's a bow or a gun. I think second, maybe they're both first, but just the sanctity of life. You're in the pursuit of taking an animal's life.
Mm-hmm.
And as exciting as that is, I think if there's not some, if you're not saddened by that at some level, there's something broken inside, and you have to, like, kids especially have to realize once you pull the trigger, once you fire the release aid, you can't rewind that bullet or that arrow,
mm-hmm.
and you can't bring a deer back, or you can't bring a squirrel back, or whatever it is you shot. Once it's dead, it's dead. And so many of us have, like, this game, the video game mentality that, well, you just, you know, reset and no big deal. The finality of death is something that's kind of lost in our culture. So mm-hmm. you may have to start from ground zero with that and help them understand that this animal is not coming back. And so, like, and then you scaffold out from that and you talk about, and that's why we're going to make the most of this animal's sacrifice by consuming it. We're not mm-hmm. going to leave it here to
mm-hmm.
waste.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that the two biggest hunters in the room are you, Tim, and you, Sheriff. Can you talk about your first experience as a child? What do you remember how you were introduced to it individually?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to echo what Tim suggested, and that is, you know, there needs to be a grooming process, so to speak, in the development of a young hunter,
yeah.
without a doubt. And that's the process of development that I was taken through. I mean, I would run out to the field and retrieve birds as my dad would shoot with his
bow. I was the dog.
I was the retriever. And to learn, to put birds out of their misery if they were wing shot, you know. So there is a grooming process and a development process, and that's how I learned from very early on, and then transitioned to other hunts. And,
how old were you, would you say?
10.
Wow. How about you, Tim?
I think I was 7. My dad started me out on squirrel hunting, and I actually wrote a piece on it called The Tall Oaks in My Dreams on thethinkingwoodsman.com.
Oh, yeah.
So folks can go
always
back and
find
can...
a way to... promote.
Working it in because it's salient. but we'd bring the squirrel home, and it's a miracle to this day that I'm a hunter, because my mom would destroy the squirrel meat. She would pan fry it, and we're spitting out lead shot, and there's still hair in it.
Awesome.
I loved hunting, but I didn't love eating the squirrel so much. Since then, I've learned better ways of preparing them. But
yeah.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, this is. I don't want to kill too many because I don't want to eat these things.
Yeah, my Big Mac.
We've got to take a break in just a second, but we've got more to go with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, Sheriff Dave Marshick from Jefferson County. But on that note, before we take this first break, Thinking Woodsman and Drury Outdoors, you have podcasts and things, really cool things happening in those areas. Tell folks about them.
The last podcast I recorded for the Thinking Woodsman show is titled, Would You Shoot Bigfoot? And it's a legit
wow. yes.
it's a legit
what?
Look into the ramifications if you're out there in your deer stand, bow hunting or gun hunting, and you saw what you think is Bigfoot, what would you do?
I have my answer.
And maybe we go into it next segment.
You know
segment,
what? I will give my answer next segment.
Let's do it.
Because
I can't wait.
I have a plan in case I ever encounter him.
You kind of have to.
But 100% Wild, Drury,
and most importantly, DeerCast. Like, if you're thinking about hunting, the DeerCast app from Drury Outdoors, it's something that I operate. It's my baby, and I love it dearly. But if you want to learn how to hunt, if you are a seasoned hunter, it's got tons of videos and information and a deer movement predictor that is as sophisticated as they come.
Which is, even for the most experienced seasoned hunter, can be
something to learn.
A big help.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. To know 100% wild. Well done.
Baby.
But to know where those deer are moving to, where they're going, that's
don't waste your time.
Yeah, that's a huge help. All right, we got to take a break. We got plenty more to go, though. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo, Chad Ellis, Bo Matthews, all here with you. Don't forget, if you have missed any of today's show or any edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, download the radio.com app. You can get our podcast in very, very many places, but the radio.com app is probably the best place to do so, because once you have that app, you basically have one-stop shopping for everything here at the radio station. You can stream the station 24/7. While you're streaming, you can take advantage of the Radio Rewind feature, which is a brand new feature on the radio.com app. It gives you the ability to rewind live radio. And, of course, you can download the podcast of this show and all the other shows here on the station absolutely free. So if you missed anything with Aaron Tarlow earlier, or the hunting discussion that we are continuing to have in studio with Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors and Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak, you can go back and hear it again, or you can catch it if you happen to miss it. And we are still going to talk a little bit of hunting. In fact, Tim just posed the question about how you would hunt.
What would you do?
Hunt Bigfoot. And so whether we're talking about hunting deer or bear or Bigfoot, whenever we talk about hunting here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, it's brought to you.
Brought to you by Razor. That was smooth.
That was the best segue ever.
Was it really? Really? Brought to you by Razorback Armory on Manchester. It's a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearms enthusiasts. Check out their website, RazorbackArmory.com. I was just there the day before Christmas. It's such a cool store.
Do they have a Bigfoot hunting gun at Razorback?
I guarantee you they do. I guarantee you. Okay, so your question you posed was that. Would you shoot him?
What would you do?
If
you're in the Bigfoot deer stand and you see Squatch walking, what you think is the Squatch.
Because Sheriff's like, because every other time I've been on this show, it's been a serious discussion about law enforcement and guns, and now we're talking Bigfoot. I love it.
And it is kind of, I mean, you could put an end to hundreds of years of debate.
Yes.
The Blue Man,
yes.
Yeti.
Yes. So first of all.
Or you could be charged anybody with who's, homicide.
Anybody who's listened to me for very long on this show, or the Dave Glover show, or the Weekend Report, knows that I absolutely believe in Bigfoot. Dave Glover and I have been wanting to go on a Bigfoot hunt for 20 years.
Yep.
And we are going to make that happen one day. And so, yes, I have an answer, and I already know my plan. If I see Bigfoot, this is what I'm doing. Instead of running away, I'm running after him. Because I'm trying
to flip the script on him.
Yeah, because I want to get that irrefutable proof on camera.
Yeah,
not the 400-foot blurry.
So you're pulling out your cell phone. You're gonna video.
So yeah, so I'm going after him
to shoot him.
If he attacks, I'm shooting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what's the other proof going to be?
Well, here's the thing. If I can get close enough to him that I can get the irrefutable proof,
which would be
that's all I need. Camera. Like close, like irrefutable close. But most people will run away because they're faking it. But most people will never get that close because they say they get scared or whatever. So I am going to get as close as I can and take the picture. I'm not going to shoot him unless
shoot him.
He attacks, but I'm not going to run away. I'm going to, and I'll have the gun ready in case I need to kill him because he attacks. But I'm going after him. I'm not running away. I'm going towards him.
It's fortuitous.
That's my plan. What do you think of my plan?
It's a good plan.
Thank
Unfortunately,
you. It is a good plan.
Unless you produce a body, there will always be people who will say, it's just someone in an ape suit.
Yeah, I don't think I can shoot him unless he attacks.
But don't you think, Tony, don't you think that with all the cameras, all the Ring doorbells catching people being porch pirates at homes, don't you think all the hunting cameras that are out there, I've got SpyPoint. It's a cell-based one, so I don't have to have Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone hits every time there's a picture when an animal goes by or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think with all the cameras out there, we would already have photos?
We do.
Four of them. We have four. That's about it.
So I'm going to pretend I never even saw it. Listen, if I came back and I told the commanders at the station
that you
there'd be a 96-hour involuntary commitment for me. I'd be at a hospital trying to explain to everybody what I really saw. And I think that would probably be the end of my law enforcement, sheriff career. So I think I would just move on, have a sip of the water, and then get back to hunting.
Go ahead.
It's great that you're here, because let's say someone like Tony has a ton on-air evidence that he believes that Bigfoot is real, and he sees, and just this is all hypothetical, he sees what he thinks is one
crisis intervention training all the time. We can really get some help
for the show. There's a dude in a Sasquatch outfit. Tony shoots it because he legitimately believes that's a Sasquatch.
Oh yeah.
And he shoots a human. What happens to Tony?
Well, number one, there's not an established hunting season for it, right? So that's going to be problem number one. Number two, it doesn't fall within Missouri state statutes for self-protection at that point. So I think you're just setting yourself up in this hypothetical huge
we're having a very hypothetical conversation,
right?
Yes.
So consider those things.
What if you hit it with your truck by accident, like a deer?
This is getting very specific. It makes me wonder.
Look, that's a different scenario.
I think Tim's point is, if you're going to be like, if somebody's out there faking it or trying to either, create a viral video or scare somebody, and they're pretending to be an animal or, a Bigfoot or whatever, and they end up getting shot, like, whose fault is it really? If somebody's on your property in a Bigfoot suit, and you shoot them because you don't know you don't know what it is. That I think that's the point of the right. That's the sort of the point of your question.
That's the downside. The upside is that hey, it was the Squatch, and you're the person producing proof positive that the Squatch exists, but you killed him.
Tim, you are so woke. You've edited his name from Sasquatch. You can't say Sasquatch. Come on, the Squatch.
I can try.
How about the foot?
The foot.
Foot. Personally, I'm like maybe 20% that he exists, but it's an interesting enough question to really think through what would you do in that scenario.
We can do a whole big. Next time you're going to do Bigfoot on the podcast,
we'll talk hypotheticals all day
long. I'm there,
baby.
All right, let's change subjects.
Before we lose.
Sheriff, we mentioned earlier, new year, going into a new year, 2020, new legislative session here in the state of Missouri. Alex Salzman from Missouri Firearms Coalition is on the show all the time, and she's sort of on the front lines down there in Jeff City every year, going to bat for everyone's Second Amendment rights. We are very lucky, very fortunate in the state of Missouri, and you guys in some areas of the state, even more fortunate, like Jefferson County, as far as Second Amendment protections and gun rights go. Do you have any worries as we go into the new year that this legislative session could be a time where, some of these gun grab Democrats?
No, I feel good moving into this session. I was excited to see Representative Vescovo's, announcement. I think it was around December 19th, getting prepared for the upcoming legislative session, because as the majority leader, floor leader, I think he's going to, play traffic cop with some of those bills to make sure they don't see the floor for a vote.
He said that they're not even going to let them hit the floor.
Yeah, so I feel good.
Not even going to have a debate
there wasn't any worries before. I think we have good representatives there, and I've tweeted about it. I feel confident that this session is going to be a productive one. But, during the brief special session that they called yeah. To address, you know, there was, I think, 17 bills filed by Democrats on everything from restricting ammunition to different weapons. And, you know, I've had conversations with our legislators. I feel comfortable moving into this next session that they'll be more productive and not focus on, you know, law-abiding citizens. And I think they'll support the rule of law. And that's where we're heading. I feel good about it.
So one bill that will be discussed again this year, inevitably, because it's discussed every year, and it's very frustrating because we have this Republican supermajority in the state of Missouri, and we do have, no doubt about it, we are one of the most friendly states in America when it comes to gun rights. But there's a bill that gets discussed every year, but never actually even reaches a vote. And we hear all these lawmakers say that they support it, but then it never goes anywhere, and that is the gun-free zone bill. The bill to get to eliminate gun-free zones in the state of Missouri. We always
hear a lot of buildings with signs on.
Yeah,
on
we
the
always
front.
Hear these. We always hear all of these lawmakers say they support this bill and they want to pass it and get rid of gun-free zones in Missouri. But then it just magically sort of never gets voted on. Sheriff, I don't want you to take a stand one way or another, but just from a law enforcement perspective, talk about gun-free zones and whether they are truly, in your opinion, make a place safer or if it's a detriment to the Second Amendment.
Well, look, I think we can all agree it doesn't. It does nothing to stop criminal activity. There's enough laws on the books right now that with proper enforcement, you know, might be in a position to help keep a safer community. That's not the reality of some of the legislation that's introduced. Some of the legislation that's introduced out there is, you know, what I would call feel-good legislation. But it does nothing to protect us. It does nothing to protect our community. And I think we have to be realistic about any legislation moving forward. And, you know, while I'm not a representative or a senator making those decisions, I'm certainly a voice for the people of our community that don't want to be, you know, restricted because there are rules on the books. Let's hold people accountable with the laws that are out there. But I think gun-free zones do nothing to establish a safer community. And quite honestly, your criminal element is going to look at that as an opportunity more so than anything that would restrict them.
Very good. Great stuff.
Sounds like common sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We are just about out of time. Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, one more time, how can people find you, social media, podcasts, all that good stuff?
Yeah, go to deercast.com. You can go there on any browser and get our 100% Wild podcast along with a ton of great deer hunting information. You also check out the thinkingwoodsman.com.
Very good. And Sheriff, if people want to keep an eye on what is happening in Jefferson County or follow you on social media,
yeah,
what are the best
ways
to do
that? The Sheriff's Office has a Facebook page. It also has Twitter, and then I'm on Twitter at Sheriff Marshak and MarshakForSheriff.com.
Very good. Great stuff. Bo, you got any thing you want to promote?
Parting words.
Parting words.
Actually, it was funny that as we're mentioning these guys' social medias, we never mention ours. I mean, you do on the Dave Glover Show. But,
yeah, that's a great point.
So you can find me at Bo Matthews. Mm-hmm. That's BOMATTHEWS on all social media. And you...
At TonyColombo971 on Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm mostly on Twitter, so that's the best place to find me, at TonyColombo971 on Twitter. And please, throughout the week, feel free to send Bo and I questions or things that you want to hear, issues that you want to hear us talk about or questions that you have for us, and we will try to work those into the show every single week.
Absolutely. And also answer the question, what would you do if you came across Bigfoot?
Yes.
What a tease.
And we'll recap on this because
absolutely.
I think cameras should pretty much take care of it. Do you remember there
a lot
was
of
a
pictures already, Bo?
There was a community in South America.
Some videos too.
There's four. That's it. There's only four pictures of Bigfoot.
Look, we're about done. I'll show you a lot of pictures.
Okay. We're done. We're out of time.
Don't forget about the podcast on the radio.com app. If you missed anything from this week's show or any other edition of Second Amendment Radio, check it out on the radio.com app. So, for our producer, Chad Ellis, and my co-host, Bo Matthews, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. If I see Bigfoot, this is what I'm doing. Instead of running away, I'm running after him. Because
and,
I'm trying
to flip the script on him.
Yeah, because I want to get that irrefutable proof on camera.
Yeah.
Not the 400 foot blurry.
So you're pulling out your cell phone. You're gonna video.
So yeah. So I'm going after him.
To shoot him.
If he attacks, I'm shooting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's the other proof gonna be?
Well, here's the thing. If I can get close enough to him that I can get the irrefutable proof,
which would be
that's all I need. Camera.
Okay.
Like close. Like irrefutable close. But most people will run away because they're faking it. but most people will never get that close because they say they get scared or whatever. So I am going to get as close as I can and take the picture. I'm not going to shoot him unless
shoot him.
He attacks, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to run away. I'll have the gun ready in case I need to kill him because he attacks. But I'm going after him. I'm not running away. I'm going towards him.
It's fortuitous.
That's my plan. What do you think of my plan?
It's a good plan.
Thank
Unfortunately,
you. It is a good plan.
Unless you produce a body, there will always be people who will say, it's just someone in an ape suit.
I don't think I can shoot him unless he attacks.
But don't you think, Tony, that with all the cameras, all the Ring doorbells catching people being porch pirates at homes, don't you think all the hunting cameras that are out there, I've got SpyPoint. It's mm-hmm. a cell-based one, so I don't have to have Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone hits every time there's a picture when mm-hmm. an animal goes by or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think with all the cameras out there, we would already have photos?
We do.
Four of them. We have four. That's about it.
So I'm going to pretend I never even saw it. listen, if I came back and I told the commanders at the station
that you
I
saw
thought
Bigfoot?
I saw there'd be a 96-hour involuntary commitment for me. I'd be at a hospital trying to explain to everybody what I really saw. And I think that would probably be the end of my law enforcement, sheriff career. So I think I would just move on, have a sip of the water, and then get back to hunting.
Go ahead.
But it's great that you're here, because let's say someone like Tony has a ton on-air evidence that he believes that Bigfoot is real, and he sees, and just this is all hypothetical, he sees what he thinks is one
crisis intervention training all the time. We can really get some help
for the show. There's a dude in a Sasquatch outfit. Tony shoots it because he legitimately believes that's a Sasquatch.
Oh yeah.
And he shoots a human. What happens to Tony?
Well, number one, there's not an established hunting season for it, right? So that's going to be problem number one. Number two, it doesn't fall within Missouri state statutes for self-protection at that point. So I think you're just setting yourself up in this hypothetical huge... which is a
We're having a very hypothetical conversation,
right?
Yes.
So consider those things.
What if you hit it with your truck by accident, like a deer?
This is getting very specific. It makes me wonder.
Look, that's a different scenario.
I think Tim's point is, if you're going to be like, if somebody's out there faking it or trying to either, create a viral video or scare somebody, and they're pretending to be an animal or, a Bigfoot or whatever, and they end up getting shot, like, whose fault is it really? If somebody's on your property in a Bigfoot suit, and you shoot them because you don't know you don't know what it is. That I think that's the point of the right. That's the sort of the point of your question.
That's the downside. The upside is that hey, it was the Squatch, and you're the person producing proof positive that the Squatch exists, but you killed him.
Tim, you are so woke. You've edited his name from Sasquatch. You can't say Sasquatch. Come on, the Squatch.
I can try.
How about the foot?
The foot.
Personally, I'm like maybe 20% that he exists, but it's an interesting enough question
to really
think through. What would you do in that scenario?
We can do a whole big. Next time you're going to do Bigfoot on the podcast,
we'll talk hypotheticals all day
long. I'm there, baby. All right, let's change subjects. Sheriff, we mentioned earlier, new year, going into a new year, 2020, new legislative session here in the state of Missouri. Alex Salzman from Missouri Firearms Coalition is on the show all the time, and she's sort of on the front lines down there in Jeff City every year, going to bat for everyone's Second Amendment rights. We are very lucky, very fortunate in the state of Missouri, and you guys in some areas of the state even more fortunate, like Jefferson County, as far as Second Amendment protections and gun rights go. Do you have any worries as we go into the new year that this legislative session could be a time where, you know, some of these gun grab Democrats?
No, I feel good moving into this session. I was excited to see Representative Vescovo's announcement. I think it was around December 19th, getting prepared for the upcoming legislative session, because as the majority leader, I think he's going to, you know, play traffic cop with some of those bills to make sure they don't see the floor for a vote.
He said that they're not even going to let them hit the floor.
Yeah, so I feel good.
Not even going to have a debate
there wasn't any worries before. I think we have good representatives there, and I've tweeted about it. I feel confident that this session is going to be a productive one. But, you know, during the brief special session that they called to address, you know, there was, I think, 17 bills filed by Democrats on everything from restricting ammunition to different weapons. And, you know, I've had conversations with our legislators. I feel comfortable moving into this next session that they'll be more productive and not focus on, you know, law-abiding citizens. And I think they'll support the rule of law. And that's where we're heading. I feel good about it.
So one bill that will be discussed again this year, inevitably, because it's discussed every year, and it's very frustrating because We have this Republican supermajority in the state of Missouri, and we do have, no doubt about it, we are one of the most friendly states in America when it comes to gun rights. But there's a bill that gets discussed every year, but never actually even reaches a vote. And we hear all these lawmakers say that they support it, but then it never goes anywhere, and that is the gun-free zone bill, the bill to get to eliminate gun-free zones in the state of Missouri.
A lot of buildings with signs on.
Yeah,
on
we
the
always
front.
Hear these. We always hear all of these lawmakers say they support this bill and they want to pass it and get rid of gun-free zones in Missouri, but then it just magically sort of never gets voted on. I don't want you to take a stand one way or another, but just from a law enforcement perspective, talk about gun-free zones and whether they are truly, in your opinion, make a place safer, or if it's a detriment to the Second Amendment.
Well, look, I think we can all agree it doesn't. It does nothing to stop criminal activity. There's enough laws on the books right now that with proper enforcement, might be in a position to help keep a safer community. That's not the reality of some of the legislation that's introduced. Some of the legislation that's introduced out there is, you know, what I would call feel-good legislation. But it does nothing to protect us. It does nothing to protect our community. And I think we have to be realistic about any legislation moving forward. And, you know, while I'm not a representative or a senator making those decisions, I'm certainly a voice for the people of our community that don't want to be, restricted, because there are rules on the books. Let's hold people accountable with the laws that are out there. But I think gun-free zones do nothing to establish a safer community. And quite honestly, your criminal element is going to look at that as an opportunity more so than anything that would restrict them.
Very good. Great stuff.
Sounds like common sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We are just about out of time. Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, one more time, how can people find you, social media, podcasts, all that good stuff?
Yeah, go to deercast.com. You can go there on any browser and get our 100% Wild podcast, along with a ton of great deer hunting information. You also check out the thinkingwoodsman.com.
Very good. And Sheriff, if people want to keep an eye on what is happening in Jefferson County or follow you on social media, what are the best ways to do?
The Sheriff's Office has a Facebook page. It also has Twitter, and then I'm on Twitter at Sheriff Marshak and MarshakForSheriff.com.
Very good. Great stuff. Bo, you got any thing you want to promote?
Parting words. Actually, it was funny that as we're mentioning these guys' social medias, we never mention ours. I mean, you do on the Dave Glover Show. But,
yeah, that's a great point.
So you can find me at Bo Matthews. Mm-hmm. That's BOMATTHEWS on all social media. And you...
At Tony Colombo 971 on Twitter.
Yeah,
I'm mostly on Twitter, so that's the best place to find me, at Tony Colombo 971 on Twitter. And please, throughout the week, feel free to send Bo and I questions or things that you want to hear, issues that you want to hear us talk about or questions that you have for us, and we will try to work those into the show every single week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also answer the question, what would you do if you came across Bigfoot?
Yes. What a tease.
And we'll recap on this, because absolutely, I think cameras should pretty much take care of it. Do you remember there
was
a lot
of pictures already, Bo?
There was a community in South America.
Some videos too.
There's four. That's it. There's only four pictures of Bigfoot.
Look, we're about done. I'll show you a lot of pictures.
Okay. We're done. We're out of time.
Don't forget about the podcast on the radio.com app. If you missed anything from this week's show or any other edition of Second Amendment Radio, check it out on the radio.com app. So, for our producer, Chad Ellis, and my co-host, Bo Matthews, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you back here next week for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.